Blog Talk Radio.
Seven two seven area code. You have a comment or question? 727-512-0052. Are you there? Area code. You have a comment or question? 502 area code. 835-3502. Do you have a comment or question?
Okay, we're live on Blog Talk. You can call in at any time, 515-605-9327. All right. One second here. All right. Let's go here. One second. 515-605-9327. Thank you all for viewing, for being here with us this evening. So glad to have you back. All right. Let's... Come on, hold on. Excuse me, folks. One second. Okay, I added lawyer. Okay, and now let me add Elder Gabar. All right, Elder Lawyer, you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where is Elder Gabar? Oh, there he is. All right, here we go. Okay, can y'all pop up for me, please?
Okay, Elder Salon, let me see if I... Okay. Can you see me, Elder?
Not yet. One second, folks. I'm having some technical issues. One moment. One second. Let me get them in now. All right. There you go. There you go. All right. We have Elder Gabar. You're live. You're live on the broadcast before I bring in the brothers and sisters on the phone, okay? It's been a while, so I'm going to give them a chance to talk today. Hey, Elder, we woke.
Shalom.
Shalom. Israel's woke, Elder.
Well, you know, I got a statement, and I also have a question for you, Elder, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Let's go.
You know, I think it's two statements, but I think it could be also framed as two questions, but I want to hear your point of view on the situation. Because it seems like, you know, I'm familiar with the KRS-One song. Right, in regards to the history. I think that song came out in the late 90s, mid-90s, right?
A matter of fact, that song came out, it's called You Must Learn.
Right, You Must Learn.
That song, let me get the date on that, You Must Learn. Because I believe that came out in the 80s, I'm sure.
Could have been, you're probably right. I know either, it could be, either late 80s, early 90s, I think.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, anywhere between 89 to maybe 91.
Yeah, I think it was around that time. Let's see. Let me get the year that song was copyrighted. One moment. That year, I think it was 89 for that.
Right.
89, 90. Yes.
Yep. But it looks like people of color here in America are giving more importance to the fact that the ancient Israelites were black, or according to their narrative, Cushites, or Cush, more importance than the importance that if the ancient Israelites were black and we black, can we be the ancient Israelites, and can we use that narrative to help us along politically or in any way, you know, in regards to our daily struggle, right? And it looks like it's almost like they're creating the narrative of being black, or, you know, Christ was black, the Egyptian was black, Nimrod was black, everybody in the ancient world was black, as if that's the most important thing. They say, wait a minute. If everybody was black in the ancient world, that means we have to do research which of the black people we come from.
Exactly.
You know, right. Prophetically and historically, what evidence, what culturally, we have to check what we do now, religiously, culturally, to see trace, you know, to trace our ancestry, because since everybody was black, we can't use just simply someone ancient being black as evidence that that's who we are, right? Because the Egyptians were black. I mean, Christ hid among black people in Egypt, running from, you know, when Joseph, his father, took him, his earth father, right?
Exactly.
So let's move on. Everybody was black. Great. Now, who were we? Of these ancient black people, who are we? And also in part two, and going back to the video you saw with Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
I noticed it too. It's like there's always a pause when you have a so-called African-American man in America or a black person, a man in color, where he's talking about the first Jews were black. It's usually like a pause. It's almost like a concern.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can't fully talk about it. And they're taken out, but they like look around. You know, it's like the comedian. There's a comedian that he's a white guy, and he talked about, you know, that, you know, racism when white people are racist and they want to use the N-word, they used to first look around. Or, you know, I'm not a racist, but, you know, they're about to say something racist, you know. It's like almost the same thing, but in reverse,
yeah.
I'm not anti-Semite, but you know, the first Jews were black. It's like, it is brilliant how they associated you identifying as ancient Israelites as being black in the same concern or political landscape as anti-Semite. Like, if you could say it, you could be anti-Semite. You could be against the Jews. But what does that mean? Like, it's almost like the N-word. You know, that you have to explain, no, I'm not a racist. But, you know, the first Jews were black. It's like, it's almost psychologically, you know, a nationwide or an international brainwash that people cannot fully talk about history, specifically of us being the ancient Israelites mentioned in the Bible. It's such a weighted conversation that people always have to look around in the same way as a racist person would say something controversial or use like the N-word. They'll look around and be comfortable saying it, you know, and things of that nature. It almost has the same political tension. And so I just want to just, you know, get your opinion on this, because it's like, how can we change the narrative? Because I got some ideas, but I want to hear your ideas. Maybe, like, instead of us using words like African Americans, Afro-Latino, Latinos, and like you mentioned, let's just call ourselves who we are. So you don't
exactly.
have to say, you know, in the news with the Israelite, you know, Israel got killed today. You know, a Simeonite got robbed today. You know what happened with this Judah? You know what happened with this Levite? So it's like it becomes a thing that now it becomes part of the American.
Yeah, conversation. See, well, this is what happened, right? It's like this politically correctness. It's like there's certain things that are taboo that we're not supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the only people where it was made taboo for us, taboo as a nation or race. It's taboo for us to actually stake claim to our true history. No other race of people or ethnicity have to go through this. An Irishman can proudly go to an Irish parade without him having to look around and saying, hold up, I'm Irish. Right?
I'm not a racist. You know,
but let
Irish.
Me tell you, folks, if someone said there's going to be an Israelite parade, man, you would have the FBI, this, that, the other, you know.
Exactly.
You have the Southern Poverty Law Center. You have everybody, you know what I mean? The KKK has come out. We're the only people who cannot state plainly who we are without some level of we have to become guarded in actually saying, by just stating fact, that we're Israelites. Now, and that's weird in of itself. Everyone should be able to have self-pride in their what? In their history, the origin, and honoring their forefathers. It's like we're the only people who cannot do so. without being deemed racist. And you know what? They systematically cultivated an environment like that, where a Catholic can probably say he's Catholic, a Jewish person can probably say he's Jewish, even a Baptist. A black Baptist can probably say, well, I'm Christian, I'm Baptist. But you have to look around when someone says, well, what are you? Israelite.
Right.
you have to almost look around and hope you're not offending someone just to say, you know, the people in the Bible, we're those people.
Right.
So if the devil was going to frame a society that would stop our people from actually realizing the richness of us being called Israelites, he would cultivate such a society that the only people who can't state plainly who they are would be the true people of Israel. That's one point. The other point, why is it that when the Israelites are spoken, black people being the people of the Bible are spoken, automatically Ethiopian is invoked? Out of all the families of Ham, why Ethiopia? Well, guess what? This is why. Okay? This is why. When they came up with that idea, you had to realize when Israel became a state, let's go there, you have to have a subclass within a society that you must allow over to be subservient. Now, if they would have said that the blacks in America are the Israelites, then outright, we would have had a right to return, and we would have overran Israel. Mm-hmm. So they had to choose the group that they would allow to come in and be subservient, and that group had to be what? A controlled number. So the adjoining states to Israel, Ethiopia is one of those. So if you want to get people who's going to come in and serve the chosen people now, mm-hmm. You have to say, well, they're Ethiopians. Well, there's Ethiopian Jews, because now they can come in under the banner of restoration and automatically politically become the subservient or the servant or the bottom servitude class in that area without them having to go into other places to get servants. So it had a political aspect to it also. If we want to let people in, they have to be under the Ethiopian persuasion to have a right to return so that we can have built-in political servants. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why it's always politics are driven in every dynamic when they're doing such things, colonizing, so to speak, in certain instances. But this is why they have to say Ethiopia, because that's really the country in which they predominantly bring in their service class, those who would serve on the lowest level. Like, for instance, we have Mexicans who will come in as a service class, as a servant class into the United States, right? Because then what? You can keep your profits up and your bottom line. If you can pay them low wages, you can make the profit by having what? People come in and work for low wages. Well, the Ethiopians are over there what the Mexicans are to the Americans. So, but if we started saying, well, why are you letting those Ethiopians over? They're not Israelites, right? If we started saying that, they're not Israelites, then that would give us the right to say, well, we're all black. You should let us over in the same number also. So they had to make a political landscape under Christianity and others to say, well, there are Ethiopian Jews. Moses married an Ethiopian. So if you're the only ones we're going to accept over here are those within that framework in number. Because if we didn't do it this way, all of you would come over claiming to be Israelites. See that? So it had a political thing attached to it also, so that they can actually control the number of black people that would actually have right to restoration in the country. Right?
And I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
There was an article, I'm going to probably put it in the under chat, or there was a news clip, Fox News, and they invited two sisters that, and the title of the video is More Young Black.
By the way.
Yes, sir.
When I was in England, the rabbi, he did it on the show and in between segments. He even proposed to me. He said, "Well, Ricard, if you would like to convert and go through the process, I mean, you can actually be there too." He says, "Ricard," he says, "you follow the law." He says, "We'll accept you."
Mm-hmm.
He said it on the radio, and he said it in a segue. And I told him straight up, the rabbi, that he was the older guy. He was a nice guy. And you know what? Genuinely, he was being genuine when he said, "You would actually be an asset. You follow the law. You know the law. You know your history. Why don't you convert?"
Mm-hmm.
And I told him right out. Number one, I will never convert to something that I have a genetic right to.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Right.
that means that you must qualify me as an Israelite.
Right.
That can't happen.
I should be qualified in you. I should be converting you into our religion. Not the other way around.
Exactly. I said, I'm not going to allow you to qualify me. That's number one. And number two, there's a war coming according to the prophecy, and anyone that's in the land is going to fall to the war. Because even the king that's over in the land right now is going to run into Cyprus right before the war of Iran. The Bible tells you the king shall flee into Kittim. And there's going to be a great sacrifice in the land of the valley of the Jehoshaphat, the land of Jehoshaphat. And eventually, Europe is going to rule again after the fall of that area. And I told him, like, prophetically, we're not supposed to be in those borders until our king finishes the war. Mm-hmm. And if my king is not here to guide me, I'm not going. He says, "Who's your king?" I said, "Christ." Christ is my king. And if he don't, the Bible says he's going to restore us in the land. And at that people are going to beat their garden tools and the pruning hooks, and the earth shall study war no more. Okay? The earth will study war no more. Isaiah, the second chapter. So we're not supposed to be within those borders until Christ restores back into that land, because the land is desolate and it's cursed. The Bible says that what? That we will be scattered until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Gentiles are in the land running amok over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we have to let Christ come with the fire to do what? That's right. He's going to bring that fire, which is the second baptism, and what? He's going to shake that threshing floor. And then once he cleaned it all up, after the ashes are cleaned out, then the saints will come marching in. Right? So, yeah, on more than one occasion, I was asked to convert. When I was here in the United States, I remember Elder Lawyer, I don't know if you can recall this, Elder Lawyer, there were some brothers that used to come every Saturday in all black. They were from the same synagogue as Rudolph R. Windsor. Remember that, Elder Lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Them guys used to come out every week. They would come out and listen to us. He stepped to me and say, "Man, Rudolph and his cousin, man, they called me out here, man, they want to sit down with you, man. You know, you can still do what you're doing, but why don't you just come on in with us?" And I'm like, well, nah. I'm like, and I didn't say it that way. I was always respectful. You know, I was like, "You know what? We can talk down the line, but right now I'm on a mission." I would say it just like that. "I'm on a mission." He's like, "Yeah, I'll see it." I'm like, "I'm on a mission for Christ, man." So I've been, many times they've come to me and asked me to convert to some form of Judaism. I'm like, "Nah, that's not my path. My path is what? The discipleship. Christ's path, the path he put the disciples on. That's my path. I'm not going to join with no cats in all black, all due respect to whatever they're doing. We have a different path. So more than one occasion, another guy, Elder Gabar, called me from South America in Colombia where brothers were teaching. And there were Jewish guys out there and say, yeah, there's this guy in the UK teaching on this radio show. And these were white Jewish guys. They said, yeah, Rakash Yar, we know about him. Tell him to call. We've been waiting for him to come to Israel. Mm-hmm. And the guy called me from Colombia. He said, yeah, man, we speak to the rabbi. They know you over there on the radio. They said you should come to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mission right here. We're here for our people. Okay, Israel is scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. The land of Israel is desolate. It's being overran by Gentiles, and we are not to go into the land until Christ restores to the land. You have the last word, Elder Gabar, before I open up the line.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it's like years ago, I ran into a black rabbi, I think, I don't know, a brother that is, you know, converted to that religion. From his perspective, he was like, a descendant of African family that always believed they were of the tribe of Israel.
Yeah.
But they just kind of converted and felt that they needed to convert to go to that land. So they didn't have a problem with the conversion of Judaism, although they accept themselves as being true blood Israelites. So I was speaking to him. This is in a Barnes & Noble Brooklyn store, downtown Brooklyn. This was about maybe 21 years ago.
Okay.
And his philosophy was that there's more than us than there are them. And so if we all convert and become Jewish,
we'll become the majority.
Yeah, we could also become rabbis and be, you know, infiltrate, so to speak, and take over. You know,
yeah,
that
right.
was his philosophy.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And my philosophy was, why don't we establish our own conversion system or whatever that we control, right? Whatever it may be, you know, we do, our thing is baptism, right? We got,
yeah, that's conversion,
right?
Yeah.
And we control the narrative. Now we have to, you know, and I'm not saying that it was a bad idea. Necessarily,
it was a very bad idea.
And it's right. It was a bad idea in a sense. I can see the rationale behind that.
I'm saying, why are we the only people that say, you know, why are we the only people saying, you know what I mean? We're going to change things from the inside. We're the only people
right.
talking like that.
Right. It's like more
because,
like I can see the rationale behind
because,
that.
Because that's implying you can't build your own.
Exactly.
See, that's what that is. That's implying that it's their structure that must be infiltrated. I don't see no place where Christ said that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Even Caesar, the threat was this kingdom would fall in 3 days so that his kingdom can be erected. It was
right.
never a thing. Well, Christ, let me run for Senate and bring the gospel through Rome.
Exactly.
Only our people talking about, man, you got to play the game. You know what I mean? Nah, none of that. None of that. It's only our people saying that you got to get on the inside and you will change things. Nah, you know what happens? You get the inside? They're going to change you. They'll sit down and say, listen,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who you think you are. This is the way things go here. Okay? You are here to be utilized. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Right.
So no. I've heard that too. Nice.
Right. And that's the reason why I think because it's so profound. I mean, the basketball player, Maurice Stoudemire. We met him. We talked to him, you and I. And
well, yeah, he came to the church in New York. Yeah.
Years ago, I think he kept the passport with us. I think 2013 or something like that. But he converted to Judaism. He's in Israel today, and when he actually invited me to his house, and you know, he had a like one of these lofts in Manhattan, and some of his friends were there. And I guess at that time he was looking to fellowship, and he was like kind of checking us out, see who we are, and asking us questions, asking me questions. and things of that nature. And at that point, he knew he was a Jew, and he knew he was Israel. He
yeah.
just did not know which route he was going. So at that point, I saw that he was searching and seeking what route he's going to approach this new awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember speaking to him and some of his friends that he was in that line of thinking, like infiltrated within, you know. And I see the logic behind that, but at the same token, you know, then you've given them the power because then you have to go into their system, infiltrate their system rather than just put aside their system, start your own system and let, you know, it's like if you build them, they will come. Similar to
yeah.
this church. And think about what we established thus far in the last 12 years.
Yeah.
So we are becoming a powerhouse, that we have our own system that it rivals theirs, and we could set our own narrative. We don't have to infiltrate anything.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, we have to make sure people are not infiltrating us.
Yeah. Just teach the gospel.
Just teach the gospel.
Yeah. Because I've known people who went and so-called converted, thinking they would do that, and they would come back and be like, man, I've seen the books. Man, they are the people. And I'm like, see, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let me you can share with me, Elder Gabara, anytime you'd like to jump in. I have Elder Loya. Also, we have some hands raised. Let's pull them in real quick if we may.
Yes,
727, Israel is woke. 727 area code.
Hey, Elder, good
Shalom.
Afternoon. Good. How you doing?
Shalom, Teddy. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I don't have a question. I just have a quick testimony.
Okay.
I just want to thank you and Elder Lawyer for in the path you guys have put me in. I just want to say last year around 2020 when COVID hit, and I was searching for answers. I couldn't, I didn't know what was going on. Like I was a typical Christian, you know, in the church, didn't know what was going on. I remember I was lost and confused, and I wanted to ask the Most High to guide me and help me understand what was going on. And he sent me to you guys' channel. And for some reason, I was already being subscribed, but I just never took my time and hear you guys out, and all those time in quarantine, all I did was type in a gathering and just put in everything that I needed to learn, and then I find you guys, and you guys put me on point with everything about the truth. I remember when COVID hit, I used to run to my mom's house thinking of. Because at that time, I believe in the rapture and everything. Ran to my mom's house, making sure she was there. Because in my mind at that time, I'm thinking, like, she's a good old Christian, you know. If she's not here, that means I'm left behind, blah, blah, blah. So
you thought during COVID, you thought your grandma was raptured.
Right. I'm thinking it's the end of the world. I'm right.
Let me tell you, man, that rapture thing is one of the biggest cons that have ever been taught. They even tell you in the book Left Behind that it's fiction.
Right.
Total Jesuit lie. But we sent out the video last for those who don't know. There will be no rapture. Matter of fact, I think what's going on right now in some of these places, you know, when it comes to taking the stuff, people being raptured right now. On the news, you're hearing about people just falling out. But there you
right.
If there's
a
rapture, we're in it right now. But go on.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's funny because now I'm the one that's actually telling my mom, like, what's going on. Because she's, like,
sure.
She's from, like, we're from Haiti. And, you know, us, we, like, the zeal is there. You know what I'm saying? Just like it's,
yeah.
That's my favorite verse to hit her, and I learn everything from you guys. Favorite verse is Romans 10, verse 1 and 2. Israel, we are zealous. You know what I'm saying? We have the zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
So I always telling my mom, like, you know, what's going on, and it won't be no rapture. We need to get ready for, like, what's coming. Like, that's what we should be praying for instead of getting raptured up and go hide somewhere. But they don't want to hear me out. Now, in the church that I was at, I was actually the minister of music because I played the keyboard or whatever. I had
What was the name of that church?
It's a place in and we in Lake.
But what is the name of the church? Was it Baptist?
Oh, it's Nazarene, First Station Church of Nazarene.
Okay, and when you found the truth from the Gathering of Christ Church, how did you explain that to the pastor there?
Well, I sat down with him. I told him, man, I can't do this no more because I found out that we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. We're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to keep the law and everything. And he asked me like, oh, did you pray about it? Like, did you pray? I'm like, there's nothing to pray about. It's a commitment. You know what I'm saying? you know, so that was like a big deal in the church or whatever, because like, I'm the keyboard player at the church, and you know, so everybody hasn't seen me, and everybody kept asking me what happened to you in the church, blah blah blah. But I actually had to tell them, like, you know, oh, so now I'm crazy. Now I'm the crazy guy. Oh, he in the new doctrine. You know, he in the cult now. You know what I'm saying? The pastor actually told him that it was a guy like me. Now he don't even believe in Jesus anymore. You know what I'm
straight
saying?
Lies.
Right, exactly. Running around and telling people that, having people looking at me crazy. But it's all good, you know. Now, actually, the other day, he invited a doctor to come talk to the congregation about the vaccine, encouraging them to take the vaccine, man. I had to tell him, man. Mm. I had to tell him, man, like, you got blood in your hand, man. You don't know what you just did. So it's crazy. But man, like I said, I wanna thank you, man. Thank you, Elder Lawyer, man. Let me tell you, man, them quarantines, I would be in my closet every day. The virgin birth, all this stuff, man. I went on YouTube, whatever I needed, and everything was just hitting me at that time. Like before COVID, if I was on YouTube, if I would have heard that about how you guys broke down the virgin birth and all that stuff, I would have denied it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But now, at that time, I was just seeking for answers. And then everything just hitting me, like, it just hitting me back to back. It's like, wow, these guys are actually know what they're talking about. So, man, I just want to encourage anybody that's listening right now about you guys, man. You guys have the spirit. You guys are in the truth. Because I've seen some attack from some other camps about you guys. I'm like, they don't understand. They have no idea. They're not in the truth at all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes they don't even believe in baptism, and they don't even believe in hell. I'm like, wow, you guys really don't have the spirit, man. They don't see it. You know, even though in Christianity they lost, but certain stuff they got it right. You know what I'm saying? Hell and baptism and all that stuff. But that's all I wanted to call and say, man. I thank you guys, man. And for everything, for putting me in the truth.
Well, welcome to the body of Christ, brother. And as the title states, Israel is woke.
Yes, sir.
You have to be. Are you in this academy?
No, not yet.
Oh boy, man, you're missing it. But don't worry about it. Hey, it got you this far. But I'm gonna tell you, if you're not, you're missing it. I'm just saying it because there's a lot.
Right.
It'll be able to fill you up quickly on a,
okay,
you know, on a scholarly level. And young man,
right,
you
right.
need to have that information, the PDFs and all of that, to be able to bring this thing to the next level. All right.
Okay.
So,
well, how do I get on there?
You go to historytimes.org with an S, historytimes.org. Okay. You go there. It's very cheap. It's only $150 for 3 months of teachings. With everything is broken down, PDFs come to your emails. It's that we have people working around the clock. Let me tell you, you get in that, you've never had a class like this. I'll tell you that. I'm talking for 3 months straight. Okay, so get involved because it allows you to be able to now teach on a scholarly level with the total confidence with the research.
Yes,
we got the historical references. All of that is in your PDFs where you open that up. It doesn't matter what topic you expound on or you're actually expounding upon. Okay?
Right, right, right.
When it comes to discoursing or edifying, mm-hmm. you have your PDF right there. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to put that out there. All right. Let's get the next call, brother. Welcome to the body. All right. Let's go to the next call. Thank you all for holding. I'm going to try to just drill down on those. I'll see you, Sunshine. I'll get you in a moment. 561 area code. After that,
Shalom, Elder.
Arazian has a comment next. How are you, brother? Your name?
Brother Harold in the Florida body.
Okay, Israel, we woke. Talk to us. Israel is woke.
So here's, we built this country. We built this country with no resources. So with the stuff we have now, with the resources we have, we should be able to do a lot of great things for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's one point. And the thing with KRS-One, them, even though they didn't have the whole truth, there was no way that the powers that be could allow them to keep rapping about messages like that, because we all know that music is programming, the television is programming, and if people seeing that on TV and on the radio all the time, man, that'll change a whole lot. So they just switched the narrative to Two Live Crew and Dr. Dre them, and with Two Live Crew have these girls, you know, not minding being degraded and being promiscuous and having all, you know, Dr. Dre them with the gangster rap, having our young men and women till this day killing each other at a, like a neck break pace. But it just brings me to the point of John 8:31, where Christ said, you know, then Christ said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed.
Exactly.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we continue, what we need to do as a people is continue and stand in the word of Christ, because like he said, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And they know that. And just like basketball, if we stand in this truth, whoever stands in truth and righteousness, we got next.
Exactly.
They can't stop it. We got next. And I yield with that, Elder. Thank you, guys, for what you do. And Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Great call. 917 area code. Israel is woke. How are you?
Shalom.
The floor is yours. Your name?
Oh, can you hear me? Elizabeth?
Okay, Elizabeth, how are you? The floor is yours.
I have more of a testimony.
Okay.
In 2020, I was introduced to the GOCC, the A Gathering, month before, and I started to watch the videos by the person I was with at the time.
Okay.
When I first heard the lessons, it was very hard to take in because it was of, I believe it was about the Jezebel spirit. It was about the ones that I saw.
Okay, so you had a problem with us warning people about the Jezebel spirit, the spirit that kills prophets.
I didn't have a problem. It was more of like, It hit home because I didn't understand that a lot of the attributes and things that I was doing was associated with that. And as I started to listen to the lessons, I would stop because I would get upset. I would get all sorts of like everything. And as I was listening to the lessons more and more, I realized how in the wrong I was. And I started to delve deeper into a lot of the teachings that you brought forth and the other elders have brought forth, I saw the truth in it to the point that...
Praise the Most High.
Praise the Most High. Yeah, to the point that I could not disrefute that this is the truth. So in that same year, I got baptized on November 8th. And it's I want to thank you because those lessons, even though they hit home harshly, it was what I needed to wake up from where I was at in my life at that time. And now I just want to strive to keep moving forward, you know. And I'm grateful for everyone that I've met while I'm walking in this truth, because everyone's been so amazing. If I start naming everyone, I will be here forever. But I just wanted to say that what you do makes an impact so great to many of us that couldn't see before, and now that we can.
Praise the Most High.
Mostly by bringing out the truth. Like, how can I say that? I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry, but by bringing out in the facts, you know, like plainly without sugarcoating it, is what I needed and what many of us still need. So, thank you.
Well, welcome to the body, sister. Bless you.
Shalom.
Israel is woke. Raytheon has a comment. I hope I'm saying your name right. Is that Raytheon or Raytheon?
It's like Asian with a R, Raytheon.
Raytheon. Okay, let's go. The floor is yours. You have a comment.
Yes. Well, woke me, and it's going to segue into Elder Boya's question, why? You know, I posed the question when Mike Brown got killed, and being a young man, that really bothered me. And I came into the truth on account of, I guess I would say, caring, which kind of opened my mind to understand a level of love that I had to have for my people. So that was the doorway for me. But going into it, through the courses of the years, I was able to understand identity, purpose, and promise. And that was through you all's teachings. And it brought me to understand why a certain identity was given to us in these times. And now that I truly understand more so that when I see that we identify ourselves as being black, it is sometimes beneficial to us, but it can leave us void of our own promises, because we'll flock to anything that is black. So we'll dip and dive into all these different religions, and we'll never stake claim to our promises that were bestowed upon us when we stake claim to the name of Israel that was given to us by the Most High. And see, the whole system is set up for us to only identify ourselves with black. And when we identify ourselves with a color, black people individually will never receive reparations for being black, because there's a false identity. So when you look at it on a higher level of understanding, it was set up, and they use entertainment, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm this and that. They use that for us to invoke in that identity, and that is not our identity. When we state to being black, it put a curse. It's a bad word, and a curse that is placed upon us, because we won't recognize that we are the children of the Most High. So I just wanted to be brief in stating that. But through the courses of the years, I didn't realize up until yesterday that what kept me in this truth was love. And it made me understand that love itself, truly through you brothers, that love is an action. It is not an emotion or anything. So once I was able to understand that, it made me step into a role of my masculinity and rule through action, where I would be able to provide and pursue. So for me has really uplifted me as a brother. And as a young man, I'm 29. I've been in it since I was 22. And I'm a part of the Kentucky body as well. So I just want to say shalom, and that's all I wanted to say. We got to stay claim to our identity, and we got to remove the black title, because we will understand who we are, and we'll get away from this what they call legal identity. You get what I'm saying? And
yeah,
it is real. Yeah,
I
so that's all I wanted to say.
Bless you. Bless you, brother.
Bless you, too.
It's deep, Elder Gabbar, that the brother we can always point back to what we were dealing with politically that led us with a passion to do something above our own aspirations. And it's like we're on a path and something hits us. There's a road of Damascus moment, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has it. And like he said, it was the Mike Brown thing for him. You were telling me, I think it was a martial art thing for you. The one thing, my road of Damascus moment happened, believe it or not. And this is how you never know how the Most High is going to wake someone up or impact you to a degree where it's like, okay, I have to be able to, I need a hand in changing something, right? What I'm doing isn't enough. My defining moment, I believe, was where I wanted to do something politically and had no idea which way to go, was the year when Boys in the Hood came out. I don't know what year that was. It was me, my man Rick, Sean, and we all went and seen Elder's Boys in the Hood. I don't know if y'all know this story. And when Morris Chestnut or something, when he got shot and Ice Cube had the blood on him and the mother, we came out of that movie crying saying, man, we got to change this man. And I remember we were mad as if they were our brothers who just got harmed.
Right.
And I remember I was signed with a label, I think Regina Bell's manager. We at that time, I was under that label. Gabar and it was Rick, Sean, and Sean's brother. I was working at Houlihan's, and he ended up becoming background singers, and we all went to Boys in the Hood on Chestnut Street. And I believe that moment, we came out of that movie heated. Mm-hmm. Heated. I mean, and I remember I think they was doing the background singing on, it's a song that I did called Love Is Gonna Get You. I mean, I'm sitting there recalling this stuff, Elder Gabar. It's wild how the Most High, our path is going somewhere else. And the Most High have these Road of Damascus type interventions. And it could be through something, even as a movie, something as small as a movie that would have us, you know, thinking that, you know, have us think towards contributing something that would change the plight of our neighborhoods, where we came up from. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we're here, right? Love Is Gonna Get You. That's the song that we did the song that week. And then after that, we went and seen Boys in the Hood. It was like this baby face. Love is gonna get you. Love is gonna get you. Love is gonna get you. Oh, love is gonna get you. No, no, no. Yeah.
That was Boys to Men came out in 1991.
Huh?
Boys to Men came out in 1991.
91. We came out of the movies. And guess what? I got the truth that year, right after all that happened. I'm like, we got to do something. You know what I mean? I'm just reflecting, going back. And it's like everyone have that Road to Damascus moment. And that movie, John Singleton's movie, Boys in the Hood. Mm. It's like, man, we dealing with this music. It has to be something more we can do. Because I'm thinking, listen, I'm about to get it. I'm about to do this music thing. I don't care what's out there. Mm-hmm. And look what the Most I did. Is these Road to Damascus moments. What was the song? This how carnal this song was. It says, what? Check this out, Gabar. It went, what's on your mind? It can't be that you are so blind that you don't have a clue. You may be fine, but maybe open up your eyes. Love is standing right. Love is standing right here for you. Here you go. You say that I'm so nice. I'm one of your best friends, the same old line again. You kiss and say don't tell. Hide your feelings well. Hide your feelings, I can't let you. Before it's over, my love's gonna get you, gonna get you. My love's gonna get you. So, man, that thing was hitting too, man. But anyway, we did that.
I think I heard that song before. It sounds familiar. Love's gonna get you something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
91, so you're going to 30 years ago.
I mean, the snare was pop, man. It was popping, man. But anyway. But yeah. That was that. Hold on. Let's see here. All right, let's go. Are we here? Okay, that's it. Yeah, so, man, that song was big. And we sitting there, we dancing. We got the dance moves on it. You name it. And, we were about to do it. And next thing you know, I'm looking at some guys with some fringes on. And yeah.
So the same night you came out of the or you saw that movie, that's when you began to be exposed. So it's like that 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
You know. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Well, I could see why would that movie stuck. Movie stuck.
What's happening to Bart in particular is, we had to do an audition for these Chinese investors.
Mm.
So right after so it was some Chinese investors that my lawyer got us hooked up with. Mm. And we did the audition and all that, dancing and all that with that song. And then that night, we went to see Boys in the Hood.
Mm.
Just to digress a little bit, we went there and seen Boys in the Hood. And I'm sitting there, we walking around crying mad. And I was like, we have to do something, man. This music, what is music going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then next thing you know, I found out I was an Israelite.
Elder, you know, I want to get your take on that, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was watching, my road to Damascus was that term stuck with me when you were saying it, but,
yeah,
you know, a movie specifically that made you, you know, cry or wake up, so to speak, right? That kind of speak, you know, they kind of get you upset or passionate. We got to do something, right? I want to kind of get your stake in it. It's like, I remember that movie Rosewood.
Yeah,
it was a movie. Rosewood.
Yeah, that was big.
That movie was the movie that I decided I'm no longer want to watch any more slave movies.
Yeah,
because it made me too angry. It just made me too upset.
Yeah, me too.
For my whole week, so I was like, no more slave movies. I'm protesting everything because it just stole too much energy, and then. I felt bad during the time that the movie 12 Years a Slave, because I already made my pact that I'm not going to watch any, you know, slave movies anymore. And then I said, you know what, let me just watch 12 Years a Slave. You know, I like the actor. I like the guy who plays the role, and I wanted to support, you know, our people. And it went back to the same feeling of being angry. It's just 12 years of a guy being enslaved for 12 years, and then he went back to his family. Good night. I was like, no justice. No,
yeah.
You know, because he, you know, according to the story, he actually was stolen illegally. Because, you know, at that time it was doing, you know, certain states were getting rid of slavery. Other states were still following. So he was like, he got kidnapped to one of the states that slavery was still illegal. And that, you know, his experience. And
man, listen. Gabar, till this day, I can't see any more slave movies.
I'm done with them.
I can't, even till this day, I can't see no more, because I don't like how I feel after them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to school when Roots was out looking at my math teacher, you know, like he just cut my foot off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm Kunta Kinte, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, yo, Charrier, it was a music teacher by the name of Mr. Charrier. He was my trumpet teacher. And I'm looking at this guy like, you know what I mean? I'm like, this guy did nothing wrong to me. So
right.
Let me tell you, no one can look at those movies and not have an impact, not have it have some negative impact when it comes to how you view people. It's wrong.
Right.
And
right.
And at the bottom line, when you look at these movies, the real culprit that's behind, that's actually behind pushing the racism and division, that character is never written in any of the movies. It's usually black people against white Christians when we really should be looking at who produced the movie. I'm going to put it there, but I'm going to leave it there. But go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, so let's go down the line. Let's take a few more calls if you don't mind. Thank you, Elder Gabbar. Chime in anytime, Elder Lawyer. It's been a while for me, so I'm just going to go a little bit more. Okay, I didn't eat. I'm just running on vapors right now. It's okay. Zedekiah.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you? Israel is woke.
I'm great. I hope you're great also.
Yes.
So, yeah, I have a comment, and considering celebrity Israelites being woke, I've stumbled by plenty of videos in my time in the truth, and I've noticed that there's a multitude of black celebrities or Israelite celebrities that know that they're Israelites. You know, they keep it cryptic, and, you know, concerning limitations of contracts and public examples like Nick Cannon and things like that. But there's quite a few of them that know, like everybody from Charlamagne on the Breakfast Club, DMX, Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle. I mean, I could go all the way down the line, and I'm definitely sure Kanye West. Yeah, Kanye West is definitely letting people know in his circles too. But the statement I really wanted to make, and this is one thing that I really liked about the Gathering of Christ Church, because the other camps are really spewing hate at our brothers, the Edomites. But out in the back of our minds, we know that our Edomite brothers and sisters, or even in the forefront of our minds, that they're Hebrew also. So when we see them latching on to our heritage and, you know, in our music, the way we dance, the way we move, the way we get together, we have to remember that they're Hebrews also. You know, just because Jacob became the father of the Israelites, and, you know, or should I say Isaac became one of the fathers of the Israelites, Ishmael went to, you know, procreate. I'm sorry. Esau, that's what I meant to say. Esau went to procreate among the Gentiles. So he kind of lost himself in that mixing of the Gentiles, not knowing his roots are also. So when we see our brothers and sisters of the Edomite origin, we think of them hijacking our heritage, but they're actually looking for themselves also. They're actually looking to come back to their heritage also, because the Israelite heritage is a Hebrew heritage. They might be offered a few things, but it would be incumbent on us to welcome them back anyway. So that was
I'm glad you made that. Hold on, my headphones. I'm glad you made that historical fact. The reality is white people are Hebrews too. Now, I know a lot of Hebrews aren't going to like what I've just said, but it's the truth. They're not Japhetic. They are Hebrews. That means they're from Eber, where the language passed from the Tower of Babel during the time of Peleg, and it went from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac had Jacob and Esau, two Hebrites. So yes, white people are Hebrew too. So that's ignorant when someone say what white people aren't Hebrew. That's a lie. They are Hebrews. That means one from what? The family of Eber. Hebrew, the word Hebrew comes from Eber. So get into the Hebrew Bible Academy, because Elder Lawyer breaks it down in a nutshell. But yes, white people are Hebrews too. And it's not just a language. The language crossed over. It also denoted a bloodline through Eber. The white man is Esau. Esau lines go through who? Isaac. Isaac from Abraham. I mean, Isaac from Abraham. Abraham all the way to Eber, where the language crossed over during the time that language crossed over after the Tower of Babel. So it denotes a bloodline as well as a language. Okay, go ahead. All right, last word so I can get a few more calls in, my brother. Great point.
Khan, yes. So also I wanted to say that when everybody wants to be woke nowadays, everybody's claiming to be woke. We watch The Matrix, and by the way, they just released a new movie. And everybody wants to be woke and take that red pill until they realize that the red pill is the Bible. And then that's when things start getting really messy. Yeah. But I just want to thank you, elders, for the gathering of Christ Church. I want to praise or give all praises and glory to the Most High for bringing me to the gathering of Christ Church, for making me an elect of the Israelites. I want to thank the New York body for welcoming me. They definitely seeing your videos and learning from you and Elder Lawyer is definitely an honor, and the New York body definitely keeps up the expectations and you know, everything along with that. I pray that the gathering of Christ Church is you know, I just pray that we stay blessed and we make it to the wilderness together.
Oh yeah. And thank you, brother. And great point. I'm glad. Hey, elders, I'm thinking about since we're near Christmas, what do y'all think about putting on that all white and going downtown near one of those shopping centers, one of those original places where I taught years ago? And elders, let's go down there during the Christmas season and just pop up. Do a Gathered of Christ Church pop-up speaking down in Philadelphia. I'm going to talk to y'all. Just one Friday, while they going follow la 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 la, we get there around, what, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or something. Just stay for about 3 hours of just straight bringing it on the same corner that the church started, where I started speaking years ago in that same area. We're going to discuss that. I think that's going to be a profound street preaching. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about it. I'm getting the urge for it.
Well, sure. I mean, we should maybe, I think that's symbolicism.
Yeah.
Of us going to certain key areas that this thing was, you know, started, or I was at least in the, you know, in the East Coast or what have you, Philadelphia, certain part, downtown Manhattan. You know, because it's funny because, you know, I don't know if you've been in downtown Lee or you've seen it. You know, they kind of closed up the whole Times Square area, and it's almost like a UN. It's like every nation and every tourist is, you know, it's like you want to catch the world and every person in the world, somebody from every part or any continent in the world is going to be walking through Times Square at one point or the other. So it's always been like a mecca, you know. So I think the profound symbolicism of us doing these you're doing that, I think it would be profound. I'm down. Let's do it. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to AC because, yes, we're going to film it. We're going to get together and have the whole thing. And let me tell you, I believe that that day will bring many people to the water. It's been on me. And, yeah, we're going to talk about that privately. But, hey.
Amen.
All right. We only got a few more calls. Georgette. Few more calls and then digression.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm well, sir. I called in for two reasons. First of all, I woke up, and I want to say I was fortunate, and I'm grateful to you and the teaching that's out there through GOCC. But about 4 years ago, I was violated by a pastor. Through words, gratefully that I understood what he was saying and what he was trying to do. And I was like, at that time, God, this can't be it. This can't be the situation where I'm going to seek you and a man that's supposed to be leading me like a father, like a leader, violates me by saying certain things to me. So my sister
because I know people want to ask, and you're speaking in generalizations right now. What do you mean by violated you? What did he do? Can you speak? Is it something you can speak about or no?
Sure. I definitely
Okay.
can.
So, what was the violation? What was the violation?
He presented himself to me by saying vulgar language about my body, about my shape, and I dress modest, always dress modest, but for some reason he had those eyes that he unclothed me.
Okay, so he hit on you?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah, so through that situation, I just knew that that was not the way the Most High would present himself for me as a woman. And I'm a single mom. And through that process, I had to find another way. And my sister is a part of the GOCC body in Florida. And she kept on talking to me and talking to me. And through that process, I started listening to you. And I realized I had to wake up. And I am a part of the GOCC here in New Jersey. And
I will be
participating in the baptism classes in January. So I'm excited.
Praise the
other part that I want to share with you, I'm a banker, and I'm awake, there's so much I see from the clear people. I call the Edomites the clear people.
So oh, man, don't come down on them like that. Don't come down on them. You know, they are brothers. They are brothers and sisters now.
They
come on now.
They are brothers and sisters, but let me just
We don't have to throw some offensive terms to them, you know, at them, because we got all nations of people within the church, and you know, I don't want people to be offended with you. You send them calling them clear people. No, they're Edomites, we're Israelites, but you know, there's people who converted who are in Christ. Just call them who they are, right?
Yes, you're so right, and
let's not disrespect people like that, right? Yeah,
but just. Within the banking industry, I work for a small bank, and at the end of the day, I tell you, you can pay attention to the economy through their pattern, and we, as the Israelites, really, as you keep on teaching us about how to store up, how to prepare, how to protect one another, how to lock arms, because that's what they're doing, and they're basically, as our brothers and sisters, some of them are actually offering a hand, as you stated. They are our brothers and sisters. So at the end of the day, we got to pay close attention to our surroundings. And I just want to thank you for the Academy, because it helps me when I have to get up Monday morning and embrace that culture. And I'm a manager, so I have a lot of opportunity to see great things through the money industry, through them. So I just wanted to share that. And then if you ever thought of us, GOCC, having Federal Credit Union or anything like that of our own, I would love to be a part of it.
Hold up now. See, now you're talking our language. Hold on. Okay. Oh, yeah. See that? See? There you go. What's your name again, sister?
Georgette.
Georgette, there you go. And you're from the New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
And banker.
Yes.
Okay, they're moving everything into cryptocurrency. Usually, one thing I found, you're going to find this very, very ironic, that it's not coincidental. Every time there's a plague or disease, there's a currency or bank change, or a bank shift within a society. Every disease, even the Great Depression, right? All of that, when the Great Depression happened, that was related to, at the same time where there was a shift, and they usually have a disease on par when the bank system is changing from one phase to another. So what we just seen is really a change into the crypto way. Eventually, on cashless society is where we're going, and we're gonna have some conversations and bring you in so you can help us get some insight on how they're doing that right up under people's noses here. But that's an entirely different conversation, Georgette. But I'm glad you were part of the body, and yes, you can bring your expertise of what's going on in your sector, and we'll, you know. And another thing, like you said, we can have like a credit type union type of deal. A lot, like there's groups we can get together and have credit unions and things of that nature. I can talk to you about that. I'll do that offline, okay?
No problem, sir. Once again, okay. I appreciate you. Thank you for everything, and I will continue giving all praises to the Most High and listening to the Academy and everything else you have for us.
Thank you, and I'll see you in the Academy this Sunday. Hey, it's going to be something else this Sunday. I'm going to tell you that. Bless you, Georgette.
Bless you.
All right. Aaron, Aharon.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
With you guys again. I'm good. My woke moment was a car accident. It was my third car accident.
Sorry to hear about that.
And but you know, it was due to drinking. I was drinking, partying that night. In fact, it was on St. Patrick's Day. I'll never forget it. And fell asleep behind the wheel, and this was the third time that had happened in like 2 years. And each time I was able to wake up upon impact and walk out of there unharmed. And this third one.
Well, we wouldn't advise anyone to tempt the Most High like that and think you can, you've been blessed, an angel around you, but it's not good to tempt the Most High to the degree where he has to kick in because one decided to become inebriated, not only to threaten your life, but others by driving irresponsibly. But go on.
And you know what, Elder? It wasn't the fact that I just wasn't in the truth, man. I was out there, you know, and I was out there, man, and that the third time it happened, I happened to fall asleep going on an overpass, and just so happened, man, my car, I had a Lincoln Town car, man, it hit the rail. You know how the rails kind of, the rails of the overpass, it hit the beginning of the rail, and it propped up on the rail, and when it did that, I woke up. And when I woke up, the car was sitting up, and I jumped out. And when I jumped out, man, I was looking down at I-26, and I was like, oh, man. And I called a coworker, you know, had the coworker take me to my crib, and man, I couldn't even sleep that night. And I was, you know, I was talking to the Most High, and I was like, okay, I need to change. Like, I need to stop doing that. Like, this is the third time, but this time that could have been it. And I never forget, man, I walked to Subway that morning. It was a Sunday morning, and I'm sitting in Subway, man. I could barely eat. It's funny that some of the callers brought up, you know, Edomite. It was an Edomite family that just got out of church. And they were sitting down from me in Subway eating. And the father, the man, you know, the father of the family, he came over to me, and he was like, hey, sir, I don't mean to bother you, but it looks like you got a lot on your mind. Do you mind if we pray for you? And at that moment, I looked at him, and I was like, man, this is God talking to me. Like, he communicating with me. And so I allowed them to pray for me.
So this would be your road of Damascus moment.
Yeah.
The thing that changed, that spiritual intervention that changed the course of your life.
Yeah.
Like Paul.
Yeah.
When I say road to Damascus, that's where Paul's life changed in the Bible.
Yeah.
Where Christ came and said, well, listen, you kicking against the pricks. You're going against me, all right?
Yep.
Winded him, and the rest is history, right? But go on.
Yeah, and And, you know, after that, that's when I started. That's when I was like, you know, I was always told that I need to read the Bible, and I started reading the Bible. And
okay.
I started, you know, I was reading the Bible like a novel. I didn't know how to read it, just reading it like a novel, just going from page to page. But I started noticing, I'm like, man, this Bible, man, the way everything is set up in this world today, it's almost like they got it from the Bible. Especially when I got into Numbers and started seeing how the tabernacles were set up. And I'm like, okay, that's how militaries are ran. That's how businesses are ran. So I'm, and then the one, the aha, the moment where I had to like put the Bible down and look at it, like, is this really in here? Was Deuteronomy 15, where it talked about, it's kind of like the credit system. After 7 years, it's supposed to be the Most High's release. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's how the credit system is set up now.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at the Bible, I'm like, man, this is it. And I started thinking about all the people that said the Bible, you know, the Bible ain't real, this ain't real. I'm like, yo, nah. I was like, man, they got it all wrong. And man, the last thing I have to say, other man, watching Mayweather. The reason why there's a lot of hesitation, I'm not gonna say the sole reason, the main reason of why, but yeah, the celebrities coming out saying it, they know that people are watching. There's certain people that are watching, and they don't, and it does kind of give them that hesitation to, you know, speak on it. But also, they know a lot of our people don't believe in the Bible too. So if you do bring up, we are the people of the Bible, there's a lot of our people, especially a lot of our brothers that have fallen away, that they don't believe in the Bible, they'll criticize you for even bringing that up. And I know that's a lot of the hesitation sometimes, especially when you're talking amongst your brothers and you mention that, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, man, right, you believe in that stuff. And it's like, you don't? I mean, the curses and all that is there. Like, I identify with the Bible, you know what I'm saying, by just studying it, just reading it, and seeing, like, yo, that's us. But that's where a lot of hesitation comes from sometimes, too, because a lot of our own people will criticize you for even bringing that up, you know? So,
it's like this. It's like this. I really don't personally care how an individual is going to look upon or frown upon anything concerning this, because why? The world will waste away. The world will waste away, and only a remnant will make it. So I have a different perspective. I understand the majority of the people we speak to, it tells us in Isaiah 29:9, stay yourselves in wonder and cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine.
Mm-hmm.
They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, and I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it sealed. So the reality is, brother, and I don't know how long you've been in this, but you'll learn to get tough skin and realize the majority of people you talk to are drunk. And they are in a worse drunk state than you were, being inebriated, running off the road 3 times in a row. They're drunk in the worst way, spiritually. On top of that, And it says, because they love to live in their stupor, in their ignorance, the Most High poured upon them the spirit of deep sleep. So you're sitting here trying to convince someone who has an angel in front of them blocking the way.
Mm-hmm.
So other people getting it, I learned, will lead to the point of frustration. When you learn to walk with wisdom in the word, you'll seek opportunity like the prophets, teachers, and disciples did, and know that there's a time and place for all things under heaven. And to a degree where you'll know that sometimes to say nothing at all is better. It depends on the person. You have to wait for the opportunity. Or the truth will, or these people will frustrate you. The Most High, I mean, let me tell you, if you're dealing with someone that has a deep sleep and have a drunken spirit on them spiritually, have you ever tried to get into something where you try to reason with a drunken person who's inebriated and all they want to do is start a fight? Think about that spiritually. So the Bible tells us that we are not to cast our pearls before swine lest we be rent underfoot. You think you're helping them, and all you're doing is what? You're stirring up a fight and making an enemy, trying to teach someone the truth. So as you progress in this knowledge, you'll have the wisdom to know when it's time. You understand?
Yeah.
And when you work like that, it's more effective, right? But go on.
Well, Elder, I've been in the truth since 2016. I'm part of the Vegas body, so I learned long time ago that, and when I was speaking, I was like, you know, when you first get this knowledge, you want to tell people, and
of course,
you know, once you get amongst brothers that you know, there's some that really don't believe, and there's some, you know, it's like, but you want to say, you kind of hesitant to say it, but you'll say it anyway, just to get that feedback. And that's kind of what I got from Floyd, just watching him. I'm like, man, I remember how that used to feel. But now, you know, like, there's a time and a place for everything. Like,
Brother, listen, when I got the truth, I was straight tripping. Let me tell you, I was a young boy. I look back at it, I'm like, Lord, have mercy, help that boy. Let me tell you, I was a young boy who woke up and wrapped my mitre on and going through family's houses with a mitre on, right? Going to my mother's house, she got, you know how butcher paper, she got her fat back all cut out, wrapped in butcher paper. I'm opening up looking for pork. I'm throwing the fat back in the trash. My mom looked at it, boy, that was for my greens. I'm just going through the house. And not, I don't live with it. I'm just going into a refrigerator looking for, you know, unclean products.
It's
not the way.
I learned that. I learned that within the first year. Coming into this truth, man.
Like, how did you know I have fat back? It's wrapped in butcher. I'm going through drawers. Look, butcher paper. This is an abomination of the Most High God. I'm like, this boy, that goes in my greens. Boy, what are we going to do about this boy? And see, my father was like, man, all the work I've done, I thought you was going to be the one to make me proud, son. This is my father said. I'm running around with a meat tree just tearing stuff up.
Yeah.
And my father said, here it is, my name that I've given you, son, and all you're going to do with all the proud shepherds we have in our family, you're going to go name yourself after a car? I'm like, Dad, my name is Ricard Chiar. No. He said, you're going to go name yourself after a car. He went snooping around asking what my name is, and he thought I named myself after a car. That's the foolishness that happened when I first got the truth. Mitri was wrapped so tight. I would take Dimitri off, and the whole print of Dimitri is up on my head.
Like a wave.
Man,
cap.
Listen. So I know what it is to be gung-ho with this truth, man. But, yeah, we must be wise with this, man. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
I know I'm making light of things, but when you first got the truth, it's – I mean,
man,
tell
I'm
you, it's gung-
the devil had jumped on me, man.
It's gung-ho to a fault. And everybody
yeah.
looking at you like you crazy. Because you know what? Sometimes we acting out a little abnormal, okay? But thank you, brother. Great call.
Oh, yeah. Shalom, though.
Shalom. Yeah. All right. So we're at the very end. I'm sorry I'm not able to take any more calls. I'm going to bring you in. You got 1 minute, Sunshine. This coming Friday on Patreon, we have a report from Robert Malone. He's the guy that's behind, who was the scientist who came up with the mRNA design. He was one of the original scientists, and he has something to say, and I'm going to do that on Patreon. It's not going to be here. So we're going to hear what he has to say when it comes to that, as far as the shots and stuff in children. We're going to talk about that this Friday on Patreon. Also, we're going to have Truman Burst, who's going to come in as a guest on Patreon, okay? What you got going on there, Gabar?
Hi, how you doing?
Gabar, I see you holding up a phone. What's going on, Gabar?
Yeah, I know the audience is not seeing me. I'm just trying to make sure that I could, that people could see it if and when I'm able to show the people. But
okay, I'll bring you in. I'll bring it in real quick. Come on.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
You're in now. You're in now.
Okay,
Truman Burst will be a guest so that he can give you some tips on what to naturally do if you're coming down with certain types of symptoms and want some type of natural remedy to help, okay? So we're going to be talking about that this coming Friday. He's going to come on for 30 minutes to have a Q&A. If you have family members, whatever the case is, you want to be there because he's a natural herbologist who can give you some advice on how to heal certain ailments. All right, so that will be on Patreon.com/agathering144 this coming Friday at noon. All right, go ahead, Elder Gabar. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I just want to, I don't know if people could see it, right? You know, it's funny how, you know, we're talking about certain things and just these things popped up on my news, you know, because I got these apps that give you this news. So it was just interesting.
Up?
It was New York Post. It was like an ad. It says U.S.-Israel relationship is a beneficial partnership. Add your name if you agreed. So basically what they, I get, and this is the sponsor, is the AIPAC?
AIPAC is the Jewish lobby.
Right.
It's the Jewish lobby, yeah.
So basically is a list that they want you to join. So the U.S.-Israel relationship is seeking to strengthen our partnership to promote peace and stability in the Middle East.
Okay.
Join our list below to join AIPAC in the effort to grow America and Israel's lasting relationship, right? And they say you could, you know, join in things like that. And it just popped up out of nowhere. And it's profound because look at the political strength that the Israelite identity, right? Because
yes.
Our beloved brother Esau has taken that identity as his
yes.
own. And look how far he has gone in regards that now they you know, AIPAC is the most powerful or one of the most powerful lobbyist group in the United States. And I'm not knocking their hustle. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I'm commending them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving them a shout out how they're able to get to the level of politics that they are looking for some form of support between Israel and America. They're looking for membership and looking for people to sign up in this petition. So that's the equivalent as if the Gathering Christ Church formed some, you know, united front with Africa, and Africa
yeah.
wants to you know, unify the Israelite tribes. Do you agree with that? And people need to understand that these things are powerful institutions that people will look towards in regards of changing politics and changing laws and changing the landscape of, you know, how we even view the Bible. You know, well, so that's why it's important for people of color not to get focused on how great the ancient people of color were.
Yeah.
Who were we? Which of the ancient people of color we were? And if we're going to agree that the ancient Israelite were black, okay, why we don't go on that and seek the same respect in our own way when it comes to our identity as our beloved Israel, Jewish, you know, Edomite brothers had done. And I'm not in a hustle. I'm just pointing that out, the power behind, you know, holding on to this powerful book called the Scriptures.
Well, it's deep that you're bringing out APAC, because don't forget Cynthia McKinney said that that's one of the most powerful lobbies in Washington. And in order for them to pass certain bills and certain legislation that could help the black community, she had to agree to sign the APAC agreement that she wouldn't – to support Israel and the state of Israel. And she didn't know how one had something to do with the other.
Mm-hmm.
If she's representing the constituency, why does she have to sign to a special interest lobby group so that she can get something done for her constituents? So that was one thing, but that's a powerful lobby. But another thing is, like I said, I don't blame them, but really what I see when I hear stuff like that, those polls, they're more so, this is my opinion, probably more so they are fillers.
Yes.
To see really how much support do they have before they go into this next phase over in the Middle East. They usually gauge the population to see whether or not people will be more so for their next actions, whatever that might be, or do they got the political backing to go forward with what they're about to do.
Or see if they lost any support.
Exactly.
If that support is
wondering. So these polls let them know where they stand and whether or not they'll be supported on their next initiative. Or, you know, if they don't get enough support, they probably have a political machine to make sure they can work towards getting that.
That's
right. So, you know, politics is politics, right? All right. So last call. Oh, so we're going to bring in Sunshine. Sunshine, I need you to take the full paper you wrote, bend that thing in half, and start from the bottom half, okay? Because I know you write everything down. Ready? Shoot.
Hi, hello, brothers. Hi, okay.
Come on, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. Bless you, and
bend it in
continue
half
prayers
now.
For you.
Make out some paper. Start the middle of that thing you got going on. Let's do it.
For you and your family, just more prayers for you and your family, Elder. And I just wanted to say that so true that the countdown is here and people are quietly exiting the stage, many either by choice or under the grand deception. And now everywhere we turn, there's a traction of the medical procedure. And with each passing day, we're seeing scientists slowly pulling the rug out, like you were just talking about, from under those who already took the solution in fear. And now what they call conspiracy in the news media, they're now confirming it as truth, where you have, you know, children like you were talking about with the immunities that they have naturally, you know, it being interrupted if they do this, and especially the young men and all that. So what was called truth in the media is now shedding its disguise and is revealed as a joke, as if they fooled everybody. And the cost is, you know, the manufactured calamities and sadness across the world. And we could see the quick step happening like never before, because like Prince Charles said, that the time is out. And these are the types of statements that clearly shows the strong evidence that Israel is woke, that the prophecy that Jake is up, it's not going to be suppressed anymore. So the arsenals are out against us. And so they would stop at nothing, including the actions against their own nations and families, because they did it in the past to trick us. They had to trick them. And now to trick us again, they're doing it again. There's nothing new under the sun to trick their own people and to follow the new untested or low-tested protocols and lead everybody astray into this false rapture. And they're tricking the masses into race wars and all these different wars, class wars, and now on the cusp food wars to create divisions amongst us and the inhabitants of the world. But their divisions will not work for all, not for the remnant, and it will only be for a season, because no one who loves and supports this world will ever tell us the truth to who we are. But when we stand on Christ and cast out wicked imaginations, these who stand on Christ boldly stand on that rock towards the promises of the kingdom of heaven in one faith, in one baptism.
Come on,
and
you gotta wrap it up.
Come on now. Okay. And I just wanted to say that the Most High love is unstoppable. And like the other caller said, that love before this truth, I thought I knew what love was. I thought that my heart was filled with the truth before knowing that love, what love was. But it wasn't until I received this wonderful truth that I realized that love truly is for family. My position as a wife under my husband, my position as a mother in responsibility of the children and training them up, and understanding the love of my neighbor and myself, be it Gentile, be it Israelite, and this church, and the love of this body, that I have learned how beautiful love can truly be. So Yadahaya.
Thank you. There you go. Sunshine, bless elders, we're going to see y'all. Thank you for all your participation.
Oh, bless you, elders.
Shalom. Thank you. Thank you, elders, for all your participation. I'll talk with you soon. I'll call y'all tomorrow, elders. We have a meeting tomorrow anyway at 3. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you all. Stay prayed up. Then not.
Yes.
We will soon.
Desire. Oh, praise the Most High. Oh, praise the Most High.